Thank you, Pastor. So tonight we are in the book of Psalms in 63. Is this man? Thank you. As Brother Ray read, thank you for being with us today. Happy Resurrection Sunday, by the way, for all the guests. It was nice seeing, I don't know, maybe 40, 50, something like that, more devices than we have the past couple Sundays. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for the stories, the pictures, and the hilarious memes y'all send us, right? I don't know about you, Pastor. I get them all week long. They are hilarious. By the way, if you don't follow the Babylon Bee, Pastor, I don't know if I'm allowed to recommend them behind the pulpit, but they are, as Pastor would say, drop-dead hilarious. I don't know how they come up with this stuff. But today they came out and it said Jesus was being investigated for violating his stay-in-the-tomb order and cited or something like that. But they never stop. They always have something funny. I think it was Brother Frank Lopez, if you're watching. I assume you are. He sent one with, is it Kenneth Copeland, Pastor? Is that his name? And twice already. I would think that he would do this like in private, and then after it goes away, he would post it, you know, to try to get ahead of the game, or play on par. So he got up there in front of his congregation or whoever it is. I guess it wasn't social distancing. He had a bunch of people there with him. But he, in the name of the Lord or something like that, declared the virus dead and gone. He declared it's gone. He said it is dead, it is gone in Jesus' name. And the virus hasn't yet got the memo. And neither has the health department, all right? And so it is what it is. I guess don't take his word for it. You probably will get a ticket. It's unfortunate, but that's how it works. And so that's that. Not sure how you do altar call at your house. I came home, just one of the stories from this time last week, and my daughter said when Pastor gave the altar call, she hit the altar. And then, how do you hit the altar? She said, I just went as far as I could. When I got to the door, I stopped, and I knelt right there. I said, okay, I guess for some of us it's the door, the mantle, the table, whatever it is. Hit the altar. Grocery shopping. Now, it's a necessary evil during this time, right? And sometimes we got to watch our spirit. I had to go to Walmart for something, and you know, Walmart's already crowded enough. But during this time, I went, and the line was literally, those buildings are big, halfway down the building. And my wife, actually Norma Cruz, she said the same thing. She texted us in. She said, she had a good spirit, smile on her face. She said, this is like waiting in a roller coaster line. Me, you know, with my bad spirit, I said, no. I said, I've been in roller coaster lines that went faster than this, okay? So I guess it's all about your perspective. Brother Ron said he goes to, he said he's at grocery stores every day because he stocks. He has a route, part of his business. And he said that the grocery stores get a normal stock of supplies, groceries, toilet paper, okay, normal stock, just for the record, of all that stuff. But he said within 30 minutes, the paper goods and the waters are gone. He said it's like a swarm within 30 minutes. Now, if everyone would just shop like we normally do, pick up that stuff once a month, we wouldn't have that issue. But I was at Walmart, and there's this guy, and he's all frustrated. He goes, ah, this is one-ply tissue. I need two-ply. And he's going, and he saw this box. It's like two boxes left of Cottonelle. And he's like in heaven because he found Cottonelle toilet paper. I'm thinking, you guys... Anyways, come, you know, it's different days when we think we're in heaven. We found two-ply Cottonelle. What are you going to do? Brother Ross sends some hilarious ones. Now, some of them are a little PG, but he sends them. And one of them, I think Brother Ross sent this one. It was a couple, and they had obviously gained a whole lot of weight. And so they're standing there, and it says, quarantine's over. You may now go out. And they're standing there, but they are now broader than the door. And they said, now that we can go out, how can we get out? And so my sister-in-law sent one today. I think it was today, Cindy. And it was a picture of the mask. You know, that New York doctor came out. Very informative little video there. He said, just don't touch your mouth. Wear a mask. You'll be fine. But she said, the reason he suggested wearing a mask in the house, which he did, it's not to not get the virus from your family members. You're going to get that anyways. You just stop stuffing your face all day long. And so, and by the way, I do it too. I'm guilty. But some of y'all, I post food every day. I'm going to get on you for posting food, but I'm posting food. Got to watch out. Brother Pineda, now if that food that your daughters cook tastes as good as it looks, y'all are going to be like that couple not being able to get out that door. Watch out. And the Rosses, Brother Ross is here. He's part of the service, and they had like a homemade Korean barbecue, the pork belly, the whole nine yards. Said, man, I would come to his house,
but I don't want to get a ticket. Anyways, they say that during the Great Depression, there were some things afterwards that generation, they came out and certain things, the habits they had, they were their psyche was messed up, I guess, or whatever. And they had to, I guess they stocked egg cartons, milk cartons, stuff like that. And so they say, what are we going to do, you know, as a result of this time? And so probably our children are going to look, why do you have 5 cases of Kirkland toilet paper, you know? We'll probably never look at toilet paper, water, face mask the same way, but it is what it is. All right, Psalm 63. Actually, before we do, let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Keep your finger in Psalm 63. We're going to do a lot of scripture reading tonight. It's very practical, kind of more like maybe a mini Bible study. 1 Samuel. Chapter number 20. Before we get there, I am thankful for the resurrection. And I hope that you took some time today to think about what it means for us. I can't think of a better time to appreciate the fact that we serve a risen Savior than this time and this day. And because he conquered death, I don't have to fear death. I don't. What's the worst thing that can happen to me? This body goes in the grave, I'm with the Lord. Because he was victorious, we don't have to live in defeat no matter what's going on around us. Because Jesus reigns, we are more than conquerors. And because he's alive, we have purpose. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on, like we never had before. And I hope that we took some time to think about it. The night's still young to think and thank God for what he did. So many times, many of the great men in the Bible went through a time of limbo, a wilderness time, a time where they wished that, I'm sure that they wished, that they could just move past their circumstances and get on with life. But for whatever reason, God had them in a holding pattern. If you remember when my dad got sick quite a few years ago now, Pastor Mike Ray came and he preached about a holding pattern. He talked about sometimes an airliner cannot land because the tower puts them in a holding pattern and they're just circling and circling. Now, Pastor, sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't slam the politicians, but if the real reason is they don't know how to find the landing gear, it's not really the tower, it's the land. Anyways, but sometimes for whatever reason, God put his faithful saints and he will put us in a holding pattern, a wilderness, if you would. When I think of someone who went through a lot of those times early in their life, I think of King David. And so let's look at 1 Samuel chapter number 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 20, where God allowed him to wait. 1 Samuel chapter number 20 and verse number 24. And let's just look at a couple of these times. Chapter 20, 1 Samuel, verse 24. It says, so David hid himself in a field. He's in a field not knowing what's going to happen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. So first, he's in a field. Next, he's in a cave. And let's look at verse 5 of that same chapter. So he was in the cave for 4 verses. He gets a crew of guys that join him. And then the prophet comes in verse 5 and says, chapter 22, verse 5, and the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the, next word, forest. So he's in a field. He's in a cave. He's in a forest. Let's go to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 14. If you look there, and David abode, in verse 14, in the wilderness and remained, here's another one, in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Now he's in the woods. Look here at verse number 24. Verse 24, it says, and they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men, so first they were in the mountains, they went to the plain, or the woods, and here, and David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south. Look at verse number 25 and 26. 25 and 26, it says, Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Wherefore, he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness, and he was pursued into the wilderness. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, "And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi." If you were to go, and we won't go there for sake of time, 1 Samuel 26, we see him on a hill, and we see him going down into the trench of the enemy. You say, what's the point? You get the point that David was in a holding pattern. God had given him a vision. David, you're going to do great things. But for this time in his life, he's in a holding pattern. For this time in his life, it's almost like God said, pause on the vision, pause on going forward, and I'm going to do a work that I want to do. And in the meantime, you just be patient and wait. It was during one of these times that we just read, when he was in the wilderness, that David penned the words to Psalm 63 that Brother Ray read earlier. It was during that time where David, he was away from God's people, he was away from the church, and David began to think, I sure do miss being with God's people. I sure do miss being able to go to church. And if you read the chapter, chapter 63, the first couple verses, he says, man, I'm thirsty. It's dry. It's like a wilderness. But at the end of the chapter, he's rejoicing. He's praising. He's upbeat. Now, we are all going to go through times of wilderness in our life. There are going to be times where we wonder, God, why can't I just go forward? God, you've given us so much to do, such a vision. There's too much work for us to just sit down. What did David do to get at the beginning of the chapter, inside that holding pattern where he was kind of dry, to where he was rejoicing at the end? And that's what I want to talk about tonight, just for the short time we have. Two things that David did during his time of wilderness. Here it is. Number one, Psalm 63, 1 through 7. First of all, David remembered God's goodness in the past. He remembered God's goodness in the past. Let's go to Psalm 63 again. We're back in Psalms. We're actually going to go to Ephesians in a moment if you have your Bible there. But Psalm 61, verses 1 through 7. He says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He said, that's where I am right now. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have. So first he says, God, I want to seek you. It's dry, it's thirsty. And then he starts thinking back. Look here. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches, because thou hast been, past tense, my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. You know what he was saying there? He was saying, Lord, I've been in some pretty sticky situations in my life. I've been pretty poor. I've been pretty sick. I've been chased by a lion. I've been almost killed by a bear. I've faced the giant. I've done all these things. And God, if you are big enough and strong enough and able enough to provide for me back then, you are strong enough and able enough to provide and take care of me right now. You know, one thing that will get us through the holding pattern is when we look back and we think about how good God has been to us in the past. But let's look at some specifics. What exactly did David look at to see God's goodness in the past? The first thing I see here in verse number one, he remembered his position as God's child. You say, what did he remember? He remembered his salvation. Pastor, I remember, I think you preached from this chapter here, and I remember you mentioning when David said, oh God, thou art my God. And by the way, in times like that, and in times like these, that makes all the difference in the world. You know, this time would be a really good time to thank God that I'm saved. To thank God that I am a child of God. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't know what in the world's going on. I'd be pretty nervous when I look at what some of the politicians are trying to do. I'd be pretty nervous when I say, man, I can see what may just be coming down the pipeline in the future. But I don't have to worry about that when I'm saved. Because if I'm saved, I know that he's with me in the wilderness time. He's my God, he's my friend, he's my protector, and no man, no economic downturn, no disease, no politician can pluck me out of his hand. I'm saved. Yeah. David remembered his salvation. And by the way, because I'm saved, what's the worst that can happen? I can catch coronavirus, I can put off this flawed body, get a perfect one, and be present with the Lord. That's literally the worst thing that can happen if I'm a child of God. I called my Uncle Trent, and he does a cleaning business. I said, so, you know, are you businesses and malls and stuff, they're closed down. How, do you have any work to do? He said, oh, no. He said, people want their stuff cleaned more now than ever before. He goes, I got more work than I know what to do with. I said, you wearing a mask? He said, no way. I'm not afraid of death. Now, I get it. President, CDC, Dr. Fauci, and all that stuff. I get the guidance. I get it. But I also know what he's saying. Look, what have I to fear if I'm a child of God? I think of the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul in A.D. 60, we'll read quite a bit of scripture here at this point. A.D. 60 to A.D. 62, for about 2 years, Paul was put on a two-year social isolation, social distance, quarantine. He was on house arrest for 2 years. 2 years. Now, what did the apostle, by the way, if you read the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, if you read there's a lot of good stuff. He was on quarantine. He was social distanced. He was on house arrest. He was locked down. He could not get out. I want to see Paul's spirit. Let's look at Paul's attitude. Did Paul get up there? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, how he started the greeting with his name, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Brethren, pray for us as we social distance. Pray that grace may abound more and more in our time of quarantine. No, he doesn't say that. He says, grace be to you, peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, here's what he chooses to talk about. As he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You say, what did Paul choose to talk about? In chapter 1, he talked about the fact that he was saved. In chapter 2, I'm not going to read it all, but look at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you hath he quickened. He said, first of all, I'm saved by grace. He said, second of all, you're saved by grace. And look at chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. If you look there, chapter 3, verse 6, he says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. He says, look, chapter 1, I'm saved by grace. Chapter 2, you're saved by grace. Chapter 3, God's now given the ability for the Gentiles to be saved by grace. The Great Commission. And then chapter 4, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm in prison. Look, we might want to say, hey, look, we got to wait in the long lines. It is what it is. But we shouldn't make a huge deal and overemphasize and magnify the fact that this little dot on the time frame of eternity is going on and magnify the fact that I'm a child of God. So it's all good. David magnified the fact that he was a child of God. Paul magnified the fact that he was a child of God. But he didn't just magnify that. Look here next in verse number 2. Number 1, his salvation. Number 2. His time with God's people. Back to Psalm 63. His time with God's people in verse number 2. He said, to see thy power, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know what David was saying? He said, man, I remember the time when I was back with God's people. And he just started to think about it. So I remember back when I saw God's glory. I remember the songs of Zion. I remember when pastor would get up behind the pulpit and he would preach and the power of God would come and God would convict our hearts. He said, man, I think back to it and God, do it again. Do it again. I think of my Sunday mornings and I miss it, to be honest. And I hope you do too. I think you do. So many of you, even, I watch the chats. Oh, some, what are you doing chatting during the preaching? Come on now. Just kidding. But, you know, we're on there. I miss the church family. I miss you. Brother Ross, we miss you. We miss Pastor. It's good. You know, I think of my Sunday mornings while I was going over this sermon, walking up right here, down. Normally, I'll go pick someone up from our class, pick up my aunt from our class, drop her off. I'll drop the car off at the house because staff rules. And I'll go back there, and I'll pick up my children, and I'll walk down with them. And I walk up right here, and I see Brother John. He's doing the He's doing the interpretation right here in the balcony all by himself, 6 foot apart, social distancing over there. But I think he's over there. But I see him. I see Brother Al. Normally you make a comment, you say hello. Him and Brother Al right there cooking up some good old turkey bacon or whatever he does. All right, some scrambled, whatever they do, that's some good stuff. I walk through here. I'll see Mrs. Rawl. I'll see Mrs. Stein. They're over here making sure the coffee's ready to go, making sure the kids don't come and get the, by the way, they shouldn't be, well, we'll talk about that when we get back, but making sure the kids don't come here. Mrs. Stein's making sure people don't bring their coffee into the auditorium. By the way, that's going to be put on to the next level in the new auditorium. I walk down the sidewalk. Generally, I see Brother Ross kind of hovering right over here. Then I get to my classroom, and man, when Tim, and actually the last week before this, a week before this all started, one of our class members made a hot, fresh, huge pan of pozole. Oh, so good, with the whole nine yards. But sometimes Tim will be down there, and he'll be grilling. Then I'll go to the Filipino. Brother Ray normally comes to our class. You never grab anything. I can't think of one time you've ever grabbed anything. But he'll go down to our class, and he'll say, what do you guys have today? Oh, looks good. Never grabs them. Say, hey, why don't you come over to our class? And I'll come over to our class, and Miss Susan Limcaco, she'll come, and she'll say, oh, come on. Brother Jet sometimes, come on, come over here. And then they load me up. So I've had scrambled eggs. I've been offered sometimes food up here, and then I get Filipino breakfast, Filipino coffee soup, and all that stuff. By the time I try to stand up and teach, you know, I'm ready to take a nap. Then I get to teach, and it's been such a blessing. Even I've been texting some of our newer people. I think two or three of you are watching right now. It's been a blessing to be able to have newer people as part of our church family. And then we come up here, and I always tell my people, I'm going to let you go about 1 minute early, because if not, there won't be a spot in here. We won't have that problem anytime real soon here. And then pastor preaches, and afterwards people cook, and we fellowship, and we have camaraderie, and we get together. You know, thinking back to the good times with God's people, and realizing this time's not forever. One day, I'll be back at it. It will encourage us during these times. We know the song, As the Deer, but in Psalm 42, 1-2, David also said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God. When shall I come up here before God? This was actually another time when he couldn't be with God's people, and he longed for it, and he wanted it, and he thirsted for it. But he thought back to how good it was, and he looked to how good it's going to be, and it encouraged his heart. By the way, I know you're not, but we're not going to get used to this live stream thing, because pretty soon here, we're going to be back together. Yeah. Pretty soon, we're going to be back with God's people, with good preaching here at God's house, and it's going to be good to go forward with our purpose. Next, what else did he look at? I got to hasten. God's provision. God's provisions. Psalm 63, verses 5 through 6, he says, look here. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. It wasn't at that time. He said, it will be, and my mouth will praise thee with joyful lips. When? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watch. He said, I'm going to be taken care of. My soul's going to be replenished when I think about you doing it in the past, is basically what he's saying. You want to be encouraged during this time, think about the ways and the times God has provided for you, for me, for our church in times past. The same God who provided for us back then is the same God that can take care of us right now. I remember my parents always share the story when our family needed rent. We're $100 short. Many of you know the story. Some of you newer people don't. My mom and dad didn't know what they were going to do. Newly married, my dad was feeling kind of like a failure. He was like, man, I can't even pay rent for my new young family. They got down beside the sofa, and they got on their knees, and they prayed, Lord, we need $100. No joke. As soon as they got up, they got a knock on the door. They opened the door. A man was at the door, and he had a little wad of cash, and he handed it to my dad. My dad took it, went inside. You know how it is. You try to be all tactful about it. Right? I'm not going to look at it. Man, he wanted to look at that thing real quick. Got inside, closed the door. He quick counted it. $20, $40, $60, $80, $100. The man said, God told me to give this to you. Look, the same God who provided rent back then is the same God that can provide for us right now. I remember a year or two ago, and I was praying for the college finances. I remember, the pastor knows this one, I was praying, Lord, please provide, please provide, please provide. And it was around December, right at the end of the first semester. And I prayed, Lord, this is your ministry, and God, you can take care of it if you want to. Please do so. And I remember, in 1 week's time, A man called. He said, I want to drop off a check. Man, that's always a good call. You know, sometimes you get a call from Brother Wayne that says, hey, the Edison bill's due, and something went wrong with the solar panels at the guy's dorm, and they want to charge us back pay for like 6 months or something like that. Or sometimes you get calls like that. No, I love these calls. And he said, you know, he said, I want to meet you at the church. And I said, sure, let's meet, you know. And we met, and he dropped a check for $5,000. $5,000. That same, within 1 or 2 weeks, a man, generous man, wrote a check for $2,000 and sent it in. Man, God knows how to provide for his church. He knows how to provide for his people. I remember when we needed a dorm for the ladies. By the way, I think she's watching tonight. The pastor, the owner, she texted me right before the service. Said, I got it. I got the live stream link. I'm watching. If you are, thank you so much. But I remember when we didn't know what we were going to do. We needed a place for our ladies to stay so that they, especially our from other churches, so they could learn and they can grow and they can be part of Bible college. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And we thought about this vacant house right here. And pastor, for 25 or 30 years, some people had asked it and tried to get in that house. We prayed, we fasted, and I think God worked it out. Prayed, fasted a little bit, and just we cold call, drove out to the owner's house. She was there in front pulling weeds at her house, and she, if you're watching, remember it well, I had a letter that I just planned on dropping off. I didn't think I was going to see anybody. And I handed it to her. She read it. She about started to cry. We were basically asking if, for the Lord's work, we could use that house. And she said, I have a stack of letters of people asking, and I've turned them all down. She said, but just this week, I prayed that God would send somebody to help me with that house. And God sent you. You tell me that's not a work of God providing for his work? Providing for his people. If God could do it then a few years back, God can do it again today. Think of God's past provisions. Next, moving quickly here. Here it is, 63, verse 7, God's help. Dwell, think about God's help in the past. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Think about the times where God has helped us in the past. And I'm going to skip a little bit here, but I think about our building. God has helped us a long way in our building. If you weren't here in those early days, pastor, you were there at that first meeting in the chapel. You remember that? Man, we came out, he just said, it was bad. Yes, it was. And I remember, we were met with some fierce opposition. And we wondered, man, are we ever, well, I remember, probably pastor, I know my dad walked in there feeling 6'6". And he, you know, he had this, he's 5'6", he felt a foot taller. And he had the plans, and he had the whole nine yards. And he was going to, present it to the city and all the communities invited. And we had fierce opposition. It was horrible. It was horrible. But, you know, they sent the enemy, well, I won't call him the enemy, just ill-advised people. There were activists that came. God sent us activists, Miss Long Beach, to get our back. They sent lawyers to the city. God sent Brother Gibbs himself. And I remember Brother Gibbs that day going to the city lawyer, the city attorney, there at the city hall, and we were all there. And I remember Brother Gibbs, he said, you know, he said, things like this have happened. We've had to sue cities before, and we've never lost. You know, in a way that only he can say it. You know, they sent lawyers, God sent Brother Gibbs. They sent environmentalists. I don't know if you remember. I remember Miss, I think her name was it Maria? One of them, Maria Norvell, very well known in the city. And the environmentalists said, you're polluting the city with your buses, and we don't think you should build, and your carbon footprint junk, Green New Deal stuff. He says, all that stuff. And God sent an environmentalist who was very well known in the city. She came out with all her instruments, and I remember her sticking her instruments right there at the muffler, and she took all the readings, and she said, they're not polluting anything. And then you walk out there today, and pastor, pretty soon there's going to be a pulpit out there. I think of God's provision. Look, we are not, we are a fairly blue-collar church. That is not, that beautiful building, beautiful auditorium is not a reflection of our pocketbooks. It's a reflection of a very able God who's been good to our church. You want to be encouraged during times like this? Think back to God's help in the past. And I have here during the recession, and I was going to go through it, through our history as a church, and I'm not going to go through it, but man, God's been good to us. From the time we were in a gang-infested area down on that side of town, where my former Sunday school teacher got shot in the parking lot. Brother Ross talked about it on Thursday night. Right before the Sunday night service, they took a Molotov a cocktail bomb, tossed it in pastor's garage. And I remember I was standing right there, pastor, at the fence, watching the garage and all the smoldering, all the flames and the fire truck right there in the alley. I remember that. I remember it. God's brought us through. And look where he has us today. If God's been good to us for the past 30 plus years and he's been our help, he's been our provision, he's been our God, he can be good to us now and bring us back to where he wants us to be in the near future. Let's move on here. Not only did David remember, number one, we said David remembered the Lord's goodness in the past, but he also remembered that God still had a work to do in the future. God still had a work to do in the future. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. A couple moments and I'll be done. Here it is. First of all, what was David's spirit? David realized that these things soon shall pass. Look here. Verse 9, he says, but those that seek his soul. Now, his wilderness was because of a person persecuting him. He said, those that seek my soul to destroy it, they shall go in the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. What was David saying? He said, you know what? He goes, I know I'm in a wilderness right now. He goes, but all these things that persecute me, all these things going on around me, they're going to pass pretty soon. They're going to be gone. By the way, this time is such a small dot on the timeline of our lives, our church, and eternity. I get it. The mayor came out the other day and he said, May 15th, something like that. Okay, May, you know, first it's April, mid-April, late April, then early May, and then May 15th. And I know my wife or brother, one of them, they said, oh, my soul, feels like it's already been a year. I know it has. Especially those of us that, I can't stay still. I just can't. But look, even a month, in the 30-year history of our church, plus history of our church, in the history of our lives, in the history of eternity, it's so small. It's so small. And soon it's going to pass. David realized that, and it encouraged him in the Lord. Next, in verse number 11, and I'm done. It says, what did he realize? David realized that the future was still bright. The future was still bright. Verse 11 says, but the king. Now, some say he was referring to the Lord as the king. I think he was referring to himself. Either way, he wasn't the king yet, by the way. He's speaking in the future here. He's looking at what's going to come. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. You know what David was saying? I'll tell you what David was saying. He was saying this. He was saying the same thing that Paul said. When Paul was on house arrest, when he was socially distancing, when he was quarantined, he said this. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does he mean? We might be in a holding pattern, but soon it's going to be over. And the future is still as bright today as it was 2 months ago when no one knew this was going to happen. You know, God still is going to use our church to reach this city for him. Pretty soon, I'm looking forward to it. Youth conference in the new building. Man, Brother Ross just got done contacting our youth conference preacher saying, you're going to be the first ones to preach in our new building. I'm looking forward to that. I just can't wait. I've stood in the auditorium when I post my almost daily pictures, and I've imagined, Pastor, the pulpit right there, you preaching behind it. I can't wait till we get the pulpit in there. And I know next week we're probably going to get the flooring in. A couple weeks, we're going to get that pulpit in. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all God's going to do. And I've got to close here. We've got a Jerusalem to reach. We've got a state to reach. By the way, some of your children are still going to get married in that auditorium sometime in the near future, huh? Come on now. We don't know exactly when graduation is going to be. College students, seniors, you're wondering. I know. Some people from out of state wondering, when are we going to do it? But sometime soon, whether here, whether in the new auditorium, some of our young people are going to walk across the platform. They're going to flip that tassel, and they're going to go out, and they're going to give their lives to God. The future's still bright. Brother Luis, we were supposed to do it during graduation. He's going to have his ordination service, whether virtually or altogether. A virtual ordination service, that's new. But he's going to take his family, and we as a church are going to commission his family to go out and to go reach the country of Guatemala. And I could go on and on and on. God still has a plan. God still wants to see our church go forward. And it's coming soon. It's coming soon. And I want to challenge us. When we think about times like this, Number one, let's think about God's goodness in the past. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. But number two, let's realize this is just a small dot on the timeline of eternity. Soon it's going to pass, and we're going to go forward in the vision that God's given our church. Think about these things. Hopefully they will encourage us to go forward for the Lord. Pastor?